everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year C, Easter 5. We realize this podcast is being published after the date for which it's designed because our sound engineer was out of town for the week and we haven't worked out remote recording yet. But we think we can still spur your imagination to more creative and energetic preaching with this week's material. Plus, in 3 years' time, this material will come around again. So nothing goes out from God and comes back empty. Let's see what we found.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary, using various SMARTs based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call these Word Smart, Eye Smart, Math Smart, Body Smart, Music Smart, Nature Smart, People Smart, and Self Smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of the webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started. The first lesson for Year C, Easter 5, is Revelation 21, 1-6. This is toward the end of the book, obviously, and it is where John sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away, and that the new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven like a bride, and that and then the poetry, the song, where God lives among the people and will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, and everything will be awesome. And
and it says that right there.
It does. And then, see, I'm making all things new, and write this down because it's trustworthy and true. So we have for you WordSmart illustration and special effect, iSmart illustration, PeopleSmart illustration and special effect, and a SelfSmart illustration. And Molly's going to start us off with Word.
Well, WordSmart seemed to just sort of leap right out at us because we have actual words saying, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. So what else can you do but use it? So thinking about that, though, we got to thinking, well, what is trustworthy and true? What words do we have that would be trustworthy and true? What written sources do we perceive to be trustworthy? And what I got to thinking about was legal documents, like contracts, wills, user agreements, those walls of text that you have whenever you install new software or do an update.
We hope they're trustworthy and true, because who reads it?
Who reads it? Exactly right. So that actually could be roll over into a special effect. So if you have access to it or a way of doing it, or even just have people visualize what it looks like when you install software and you get to that window and it's got that long bunch of text that you scroll through until
Article
you get
four.
To the end.
Article 5.
Yeah, always agree. You could do that as a special effect, or a different special effect you could do still with the writing thought to it is include paper and pencils for the congregation and ask them to write down the words, "See, I am making all things new," on their paper, and they can do embellishments with it, little, do fun things with their fonts, or you could just have them write it 50 times, like in old school days, just, "See, I'm making all things new," and just kind of really send it home, anchor it with them.
I will not make things old. For iSmart, the new heaven and new earth replacing the old heaven and old earth reminded us of some of the remodeling reality TV shows like Extreme Makeover Home Edition, which
we used to watch that all the time.
We did. We watched that every week. And they would, if you're not familiar with it, they had a team of architects and builders and creative types who would come in. They'd have a deserving family, a needy family who was very deserving, and they'd need something. They'd be living in a cracker box, and it would be ugly and smelly.
Or
and
something had changed in their lives, and they needed updates or some remodeling on the house to make it more habitable, or that's a word.
Okay.
Maybe somebody had suffered a medical difficulty and they couldn't get around it like they used to. And so they needed to update the house so that it made it more more accessible.
Right. So anyway, the team would come in and they would just demolish the old place.
Yeah, and sometimes literally.
Literally, yeah. They just tear it down.
The show started out, they'd just go in and they'd gut it.
Right, yeah.
Because the places weren't that bad, but as time wore on, they found more and more places that just...
It was quicker and easier to just level the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they'd replace it with something
brand new
and beautiful and huge, usually, and palatial and very energy efficient and accessible and everything that they needed and wanted in a place.
And they would
do rooms that were
specific to the people.
Right. You know,
they would have collages or art or stuff. Yeah.
So it's very much the idea of what God is doing here is just tearing down the old and building something brand new. And it's especially cool because God picks up the taxes and utilities this time. Which sometimes got those other families in trouble. But so anyway, there's that.
So for People Smart, we're looking at the phrase prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And for the illustration, speak of the significance of bridal imagery in Scripture. It's everywhere. There's the process of choosing a partner or having a partner chosen. The exclusive nature of that relationship, the prominence of marriage as a covenant and its symbol as God's relationship with humanity, as God being a bridegroom and the people being a bride. You might want to even explore the idea how marriage has changed and is still as significant. How has marriage changed and how is it still significant in our culture? Last summer's ruling by the Supreme Court changed a lot in our culture. Some people are very excited about it and others are not so much. So tread lightly in those waters. You know your congregation and how well something like that would be received. Also, as an illustration, if you are familiar with the CBS show The Good Wife, it's about ready to go off the air. But last night's episode called The Party, there was a particular scene where Alicia, the main character, is having a conversation with her soon-to-be daughter-in-law about the nature of marriage. And it's really interesting because it gives kind of she's conflicted about marriage and her daughter-in-law has a very different understanding of what marriage is. So you might want to look at that.
We'll have a link for you in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. So for a special effect, invite people to have to form small groups in the congregation and have them talk with one another about cultural expectations of weddings and of the wedding day, what kind of preparations, hopes, different roles that different people have, and what's the role of the community, for example. What are some emotional loads in using this sort of illustration as the kingdom of God? Or something else you could do as a special effect is choose a couple of couples, one that's been married a long time, 30 to 50 years, and maybe another couple that's been married less than 5 years, and have them bring in their wedding pictures and interview them about their wedding day to find out what was different and what was the same. And hopefully you're going to find a lot more same. Some things will be different. I mean, what sorts of things are similar in preparing and greeting that day?
And that moment of seeing each other, I bet that's constant. It's like, oh, it's you. For CellSmart, invite your folks to remember a time when they were feeling hurt or scared or crying and Someone came to help them and comfort them, a loving parent or grandparent, a lover or friend, who gave them comfort. And the relief of having someone there, bringing some strength and caring and understanding, and that connects with the verse about God wiping away the tears from their eyes. And as a specific illustration of that, we have a story from Steve Quill at God Pause, which is a daily devotional at from Luther Seminary, and from April 13th. And Mr. Quill here talks about the day that his father died unexpectedly, and some of the travail that they had around that, a delay in being able to get to the site where his father was, and a lot of people coming to offer sympathy and such, that just really was very taxing emotionally, and how in the middle of the night he woke up with the depth of his grief, and his wife was there for him and kissed away his tears. And it's very moving the way he writes it, and I think it'll make a nice connection for you in the sermon to get people connected with that sort of moment and about that that tenderness of God. So we'll have that for you in the show notes. Okay, let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year C, Easter 5, is John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Really short little passage. Judas has left the upper room where the disciples have gathered, and Jesus is now beginning, heading into the great discourse. But he's got some words he has to say to them before they get into that. And he's talking about the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. And we're going to be looking at that particular verse a little bit later on. Jesus goes on to say, little children, I'm only with you a while longer. Where I'm going, you can't come. And so he gives them a new commandment, that they love one another, just as he has loved them. And by that, everyone will know they are his disciples, if they love one another. So for this particular passage, we have an illustration in word smart, we have an illustration in math smart, we have an illustration and special effect in music, a special effect in people, and an illustration in self. So we're going to start out with word smart. As you're familiar with, hopefully, there are various words for love in Greek, and the word that's used in this particular passage for love is agape. Ask yourself the question and see where it goes. Chase this rabbit for a while. What difference?
What's agape?
Oh, agape. Thank you. Is that unconditional, never going to give you up, Rick Astley kind of love that God has for all of creation. God pours God's self into us all the time, all the time, all the time. Forgiveness, love, abundance, mercy, forgiveness. It's always there.
Cool.
That's agape. That's the kind of love Jesus is speaking of in this particular passage. So what difference would it make if it were one of the other words for love? Just chase that rabbit. Go see where that leads you.
For Math Smart, we're looking at verse 31 and 32, and Jesus is talking about the glorification that is happening to him, which John brings to its crescendo in the crucifixion, but he says, now the Son of Man has been glorified and God has been glorified in him. Then in 32, an if statement, which triggered my math brain here. So if God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. So it's a sort of reflexivity, a reflexive relationship. So if we put it in if-then statement form, it would be if x plus y is greater than 1, then y plus x is greater than 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the y and the x. In abstract, it doesn't really matter what they are. The point is that if it works one direction,
it works the other.
It works the other direction. And that's what Jesus seems to be saying.
Two-way street.
Is that the Son of Man is being glorified in God. God is being glorified in the Son, and they glorify each other. So, which is why I use the greater than statement.
As opposed to equal.
As opposed to equal, because they are being glorified, becoming greater. Or there being magnified, as it were. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go a little deeper into math.
Some of us are pretty happy where we were.
I know. But if you wanted to.
There are some engineers out there.
There are. Then you could press on and use a function statement. Ooh. So f of n. So a function f being foisted upon the variable n. So where the function is glorification. So if you do a thing to the number, you're glorifying an element. So that's the f of n, right? So it would go something like this. If capital Y equals f of x, small x, then capital X equals f of small y, where small x is the son of man and capital X is the glorified son, and where Y is God the Father and capital Y is glorified God. So the glorified God equals the glorified son, basically, in the f of son.
Is this how you get an equal sign into the math?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was bugging you, wasn't it?
I guess. Yeah. So glorified God equals F of Son, and glorified Son equals F of God.
There you go.
So there it is. It looks a lot better. You would understand it better, I hope, if you could see me writing it out on a board,
yeah.
Which you might want to do if you actually do this. We'll have it in the show notes for you.
There you go. Okay. For musical smart, we have both illustration and special effect. For an illustration, invite your people to remember their favorite love song or a popular love song. What are some of the themes in those love songs? How do they compare or contrast with what we think Jesus has in mind in this commandment that he gives to them? And can you think of any particular popular songs, secular songs especially, that espouse this agape kind of love? I was saying to David a little earlier that the one that comes to mind for me all the time is a song by Michelle Branch called Everywhere. She's singing it, obviously, to somebody that she's got something, has a special spark for, but I've always heard it as her singing to the Spirit of God. So go find that and give a listen to it, see what you think.
We'll try and put a link in the show notes.
We'll try. So for special effect for Music Smart, you got that favorite song in mind, that favorite love song? Sing it, or at least a bit of it anyway, and then rewrite it or reframe it so that it reflects Jesus' agape love rather than the eros or the romance that's in that particular popular song.
The original.
Right. Now, granted, that's one of the charges leveled at contemporary Christian music is that they pretty much just write love songs to Jesus. And, maybe so. But, take that secular song. Make that see if you can, and this is something you would be doing with your congregation. Take that secular song and see if you can just sort of reframe it a little bit to make it agape love.
Or you could do it ahead of time if you.
True, and present it.
If you're so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
For people smart, again, asking your congregation to talk with each other and work together, invite them to work together in groups to come up with a list. And here's the list that you want. What evidence is there to the world that we in our congregation love each other unconditionally and that we love each other as
Jesus loved
us?
Mm-hmm.
Kind
of brainstorm ideas.
And see if they can come up with anything. Hopefully this will take some time and they'll be able to come up with some stuff. Now, if you have some visitors, Molly had an idea of what to do if you have visitors involved. And do you want
just have them, so if you break into groups and you've got people who've been there for the first time or something, ask them, what would you look for in a congregation that evidences this kind of love? How would you know if you walked into a congregation and you thought, oh, these people really love each other? How would you know that?
Going on to self-smart, engage your folks in memory by asking them to remember when they were young young children, and the parents were going out or going away, and what instructions did they leave with you when they were going out the door on how to behave in their absence? What sorts of things did they say?
What kinds of permissions were you given, too?
Yeah, yeah. Reminders of what to do and not to do. Mm-hmm. You know,
don't
wash
answer
behind
the phone.
Your ears before you go to bed.
Yep, and stay off the phone.
Stay off the phone.
That was in the days when phones were really important because they might need to call, you know, and somebody had the line tied up.
Oh, yep. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right. Don't forget to feed the animals and, you know, all that sort of thing. And listen
don't
to your brother.
Don't open the door. No friends. Nobody in. Nobody out.
Right. All that sort of stuff. Because Jesus was telling his disciples, basically, I'm going out for a while. Y'all behave yourselves.
And love one another.
Love one another. I don't remember if parents ever reminded us to do that.
No.
I said, I love you and good night.
Yeah, your sister's in charge. That was not love.
No,
one.
Let's go on.
We have something special for this particular podcast since we are already in the past. I was going about putting my bulletin together for worship for yesterday, and I was looking around for a call to worship. I generally tend to go to a variety of different websites to look for liturgy. And if something sparks, it's like, oh, hey, that's really cool. Well, I came across an idea on a website called The Worship Closet, a place for creative worship ideas. And we'll get a link to that in the show notes. And I would recommend giving it a try. Sometimes they have some really interesting things. And they had a particular thing that I just had to do. It was a Mad Lib. For Psalm 148. If you've ever done Mad Libs, it's essentially a block of text that has particular words taken out of it, and it's just a blank spot with what form of speech needs to go in there. A name, a verb,
an adjective,
a noun, a gerund, things like that. And so this particular person took Psalm 148 from the New Revised Standard Version and just kind of took some things out here and there. And we'll put this link into the show notes so you can see what it looks like. But there was an awful lot that needed to be added back in. And so at the beginning of my service, I asked my congregation to participate in doing a Mad Lib, and they all remembered what it was like to do. And so this is some of the stuff that we came up with. I'm just going to give you a little bit of it, the first part of it. This is what my congregation came up with this Mad Lib for Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the Furnace Mountain. That's the name of my
church.
Congregation. Yes. Praise him in the Point of Rocks. That's a place
down
just across
nearby.
The river. Praise him, all his chipmunks. Praise him, all his bear. Praise him, capsule and moon. Praise him, all you green craft. Praise him, you beautiful luckets and you cows above luckets. That
Luckett's
one made me laugh.
Luckets is another town.
It's a small village and it's a rural village. So the cows above Luckets, it just made me giggle. Yeah. So anyway, it goes on like that with a variety of things. Some of them were just sort of nonsensical. And it's kind of like, that didn't work so well. Others were profoundly beautiful. So it was fun to do. And so if you have a chance to do this with Psalm 148 sometime, just give it a try.
It's a big, giant word smart and people smart together.
Exactly. Exactly. So have fun with that. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Or you can send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can send us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe you got an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to hear how using this theory of multiple intelligences has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too. And leave us a lovely review, won't you? It'll help others find us more easily. We'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.